Christmas Day, I went out Memory Lane Cemetery and spent a while out there. And I walked to that little place over in the south part of the cemetery where our people are buried, waiting the, waiting the rapture, of course, but waiting the time when we have a new cemetery garden, rapture garden finished, and their bodies, I think this right body will be transferred from there, rapture garden is there, isn't that right? And he calls it the garden of purgatory because their bodies are there just for a while, and they're going to be moved after a while, and he shouldn't do that, but he does. And and if somebody comes up to you and you're a visitor, and he has a tape measure, and he measures your body. That's Mr. Depper, who's our cemetery man, and so forth. And but anyway, I walked over that part of the cemetery and spent a few minutes, a while, looking at each grave and reliving some wonderful, wonderful memories. I looked at the grave of Blandford Duff, one of the dearest men we've ever had in this church. I can still see his big old fat fingers reaching for the Lord's Supper juice down here as a deacon on the front row. I loved him dearly. I miss him very, very much. Nobody has ever brought me any more encouragement at First Baptist Church than Blandford Duff did. And I thought of him for a while. And I wish I could go through the entire list. I will not. I stood beside Mr. Solis' grave for a while and remembered the quartet which he used to sing here at the church and how he led the choir and what a marvelous spirit he had. I stood beside the grave of Sharon Stromberg and relived those wonderful days when God raised her up from almost from the dead and let her live for a while longer before she was burned to death in that Christmas fire. I went to the mausoleum out there, stood as near as I could to the place where Mr. Walker's body rest, and remembered how Mr. Walker made this building a reality. Vice President over here at Hoosier State Bank, we couldn't find enough money to borrow enough money to build this building. And Mr. Walker went with me over on the other side of Chicago and used his influence. We sat there for a half a day, I guess, and talked to a man, worked together in the making of this building a reality and much of our college and high school a reality. And I relived those days. And then there was Ron Menzie, and there was Mrs. Moffitt, and there was little Steve Huckins, and I better not go in a lot further, or I'll call everyone except somebody dear to you. But I did spend a few minutes over every one of the graves there, and then thanked God for them and prayed for you who are left with an empty place at your table on Christmas, especially those of you that have that empty place for the first Christmas this year. And then I got thinking, I wonder what they're doing now. And that's one of my favorite subjects. I wonder what they're doing now. I'd like to share with you my thoughts concerning what they're doing now. One of my pet peeves is the average concept of heaven. You know, folks think that everybody up there has got a big old 10-pound crown they wear it around everywhere they go. Now, that's going to get heavy after a while, folks. I just don't think you wear a crown all the time everywhere you go in heaven. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to play a harp all the time. Your finger could get sore playing a harp all the time. I don't think that's heaven. I don't think heaven is everybody's going to have a white. I don't think everybody's going to wear a white robe all the time. I don't think so. First place, I'm not going to wear a robe at all. Little as I can get by with it, I don't like to wear robes. And the Lord gives me one, I'll wear it as long as he makes me. But as soon as he's turned his back, I'm going to change clothes. One of my pet peeves is the average concept of heaven. Now, there's just not much that we talk about heaven that we think associate with heaven that we're going to do much of the time when we get to heaven. Now, let me sort of, look, give me your mind for a minute. Listen on purpose this morning. I want you to logic with me. All right. When you got saved, did that change your personality? No, it didn't. Who said amen? If anybody up here in this section would say getting saved changed your personality, that's silly. That's silly. They act more like heathen in any section of this church. But the honest truth is, folks, if you were quiet before you got saved, you were still sort of quiet after you got saved. If you like to tell a funny story before you got saved, you still like to tell funny stories after you got saved. Now, God changed some of your appetites, and God made you a new creature, but God didn't change. You know, Peter and Paul were just as different after they got saved, different from each other after they got saved. A lot of folks think up in heaven, we're all going to have the same personality. Everybody's going to do the same thing and think the same thing, have the same activities. Well, that's not true at all. I want you to follow me now. When you got saved, though your sins were forgiven, and a new person came to live, and there was a new creature born there, you still didn't change your personality. Now follow me. Then, would you not say that there would be less change at death? Now don't leave me now. There'd be less change at death than at conversion? Now hold it. When you got saved, an entire new person was born who came to live with you. Now, when you go to heaven, there's no entire new person. When you got saved, an entire new person was added. When you go to heaven, the old person is dropped off. So there absolutely was a greater change in you, in your personality, when you got saved, than there will be when you go to heaven. And because of that, we'll continue with the same interest. I think, for example, I think if you like medicine here, you'll still like medicine there. I think if you're a doctor here, I think you'll still be concerned about medicine there. I think you'll still continue to study it. If you like law here, I think you'll still continue to like law. And I think if you study law here, you'll study law when you get to heaven. I think if you, if Tom Landry, if he goes to heaven, I think he will. But if he were to go to heaven now, suppose he died right now, you think Tom Landry would be any less concerned than the Dallas Cowboys when he gets to heaven? Now, I'm serious. I don't think he would be. I've got a good friend in heaven named Bob Keyes. He was as big a Dallas Cowboy fan as I am. I think Bob's got his mind on the Cowboys. We'll have his mind on the Cowboys this afternoon. It's because in heaven, they're going to change his whole personality. After all, what's more spiritual than the Dallas Cowboys? I just don't think that up in heaven, we're all going to be little paper dolls cut out. This is exactly like. I think, Dr. Evans, you like history. I think you'll still like history when you get to heaven. Brother John, I think you'll sleep all the time in heaven. Mr. O'Claire, I think you'll be as feisty in heaven as you are here. Yeah. And I think that I'll be as corny in heaven as I am here, too. Oh. And you'll be as rude in heaven as you are here, too. Those of you that go there. Miss Colston, Mrs. Godfrey, I think you'll have more interest in music in heaven than I, because you had more interest in music on earth. I think I'll be a little more concerned about studying the truth of the Bible in heaven than you will, because you never studied the Bible on earth. And I think, look, folks, if there's one thing I'd like for my people to get from me about heaven, and that is heaven is simply a place where we're going to live someday. And it's not going to be all that much different from here. The Bible says, we shall be known even as we are also known. Now, Dr. Evans is known here as an educator. I think he'd be known in heaven as an educator. I think Brother Sullivan will be far more interested in heaven in fellowshipping with the rescue mission men that were saved in rescue missions and lives were changed and transformed from lives of shame and ruin and who've been completely salvaged. I think Brother Sullivan will spend more time with those fellows in heaven than he will those that grew up in a Christian home. Our taste, our personalities. But you say, preacher, how about the harps and the crowns? Now listen carefully. I think we'll have harps. I think we'll have crowns. I think we'll have white robes. But let me show you how we're going to use them. We just celebrated Christmas. Now on Christmas, we did something we don't do all the time. We sang, O Little Town of Bethlehem, Silent Night, Holy Night. We had some Thanksgiving time, and we had our service here, and all our minds were centered for one day on Thanksgiving. Then we sang about God's blessings and God's goodness and read the scripture, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And it was a season. I think there'll be seasons in heaven. We'll get our harps out and play them. We're not going to sit for any all time playing a dumb harp or a smart harp. We're not going to do it. That's not what heaven's going to be like. I think we'll have crowns in heaven. Now, I think that, for example, this morning, here you are in your Sunday go-to meeting clothes. You wore your suit, you washed your feet, and you came to church this morning in your Sunday best. But now, tomorrow, we'll be going to our various places. You don't wear that suit you got now all the time. You'll put it on Sunday, but tomorrow, you're a postman, you have a postman's outfit. You're a policeman, wearing a policeman's uniform. If you work out the steel mill, you'll wear the work uniform. And I think up in it, sure, I think in heaven, we're going to get together and play the harps all together, and all of us will sing and sing praises to God. But I think that most of the time we're not going to do that. We have our 4th of July parades here. We have the bands to play. I think we'll have a day occasionally. But all we do is praise the Lord. But I think we're going to have other things to do, and I think we'll have other activities and other interests. We'll have a crown. Won't wear it all the time. We'll have a harp. Won't play it all the time. We'll have a white robe. Won't wear it all the time. For the most part, now hear me carefully. For the most part, we will pursue in heaven what we pursued here. But you say, Brother Huff, all I want to do is just sit at Jesus' feet and look at it and praise him and love him forever and ever. That's all I want to do. Now, that's not the truth. That's not all you want to do. We married a couple here this afternoon. And Danny thought all these days and months, all he wants to do is just look at Nancy and say, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're beautiful. But he's going to get other desires. And he's not going to spend all his life just gazing at Nancy. And she's not going to spend all of her time feeling his bicep. Now, I think that's fine. And I think there are times when they will do that, and she will gaze at him, and he will gaze at her, and they'll have a time of love and adoring each other. But the truth is, they've got life to go about. And in heaven, though we will praise the Lord, and though we will throw our crowns at his feet, and though we will adore him and worship him, there's far more to it than just that. For example, I don't think for a second that in heaven the builder will drop his tools. I don't think for a second the sculptor will drop his chisel. I don't think for a second that in heaven the artist will leave his brush on earth. I don't think the author will put down his pen, nor the painter his easel, or the musician his songbook. I believe that heaven will simply enlarge our individual enjoyments. Dr. Evans, may I talk to you for a second? You love history. You probably know history more than anybody in this room. But you've only known the history of one world. Think of how much history you can study there. The history of Saturn, the history of Mars, the history of Jupiter, the history of the Sun, the history of the Milky Way, the history of the Pleiades and Orion, Aurora Borealis, all those things. Think about that. I mean, can you imagine all the history you don't know about? He spent his life becoming a history scholar. Now, do you think in heaven all of a sudden he's going to just play a harp all his life? Oh, no, sir. Dr. Evans is going to say, wow, man, this is a big place. I want to study the history of this place. And I think that his interest and his enjoyments will continue, but they'll enlarge. And I think his desire to know history. Now, personally, history, I majored in history in college. And then I closed the book and said, thank God, I don't even want to ever anybody ask me what year the War of 1812 was anymore. as far as I'm concerned, that's it. It's over. And thank God. Hallelujah. It's over. Plato had written over the door where he lived, no one can enter here unless he loves geometry. I never would have gone to see Plato. Never. Never. But Dr. Evans is one of those peculiar guys that loves history. heaven, he'll still be a peculiar guy that loves history. Dr. Cowley, our scientist at the college, he'll still love science. But Dr. Cowley will love science even more than loved it here. Think for a minute. Think, if Isaac Newton's in heaven, think how much he's enjoyed it. Think of an astronomer going to heaven, exploring Jupiter and flying over the Mercury and a weekend at Saturn, and exploring firsthand the Pleiades and Orion and all of the stars in heaven. And think how he checks with Joshua and said, Joshua, tell me something about the sun standing still. And the scientist goes to Moses, and Moses, tell me all you know about the Red Sea and his parting. Or the flood covered the earth. Noah, tell me about that flood. Or the virgin birth of Jesus. He goes to Jesus and says, explain that virgin birth to me. I think that person that loves science here will have an eternity to explore his own unique appetites while he's here. And I think he'll enjoy it and be occupied in that. I think the medical men will love medicine. Won't it be a wonderful thing? Doctors, when you get to heaven, if a cure for cancer has not been discovered, to find out what it really is. God knows what it is. And can you imagine the kind of excitement these doctors are going to have when they get up there and look at the glorified body? And they're gonna want to take an autopsy of a live body and say, boy, I want to see what makes this thing live forever. What makes this thing not get sick? What makes this thing not die? I can imagine endless ages of continual exploration about medicine by those who love medicine here. Or how about art? Now, I never could draw a thing. I never could. I can draw my account at the bank, and apart from that, there's nothing I can draw. I know nothing about it. I marvel at people that have a gift of art. But don't you think if Raphael is in heaven, don't you think he's improved a great deal on his Michael and the Archangel now that he has seen Michael the Archangel? Don't you think if Michelangelo is in heaven, don't you think that his Moses in Rome, that beautiful statue of Moses that I've seen in Rome, don't you think now that he has seen Moses, don't you think he has sculptured the real Moses? Oh, that marvelous Last Judgment in the Sistine Chapel, upon the roof of the Sistine, ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, don't you think that now that Michelangelo, if he is in heaven, after he's heard the judgment thunder roll, and after he's heard the rumbling of judgment, and he knows what's going to happen, don't you think that he could improve on that? Can you imagine an artist going to heaven, drawing a picture of the river of life, or a painting of the tree of life? I'm simply saying, folks, if I could do one thing for you, if I could get you to make heaven a reality to where you wouldn't think that when you die you're going to wear a white robe, play a harp, and float around a person, holy, 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 with long blonde hair all your life. First place, I'm not going to have long hair in heaven. I'm going to have hair, bless God, but I'm not going to have long hair. I'm not going to be a heavenly hippie. And it irritates me for people to paint Jesus as a long-haired hippie. Nobody's come close. Get him a haircut! That's what he had while he was here. Some of you folks need to do the same thing. No, I don't think our Lord was a long-haired hippie. I don't think he's up in heaven right now wearing a bathrobe. I don't think so. I think that we're going to go to a city. And I think sometimes, Mr. Claire, I think you're going to say, Brother House, could I have a day or two off from the grade school? I want to go see Jesus. And I think you're going to just take off and go see him. And I think you're going to love him for a while and tell him how much you appreciate the fact that you're there. But I think you're going to be interested in little children in heaven. I think you'll still be interested in education in heaven. I think those pursuits that you have on earth will be enlarged. Those enjoyments will be enlarged in heaven. I have a definite feeling that I'll be a preacher in heaven. I think that I'll maybe go to Paul, have Paul explain Romans to me. And if you place, I think I can help him on it. And I'll have Paul explain Romans. I want John to explain some of the part of Revelation to me. And I don't think you're going to be, Dr. Evans, you're not going to be able to learn all that. You're going to be busy learning the history of Jupiter. And so I'm going to go spend my time having Paul teach in Romans, and we'll get together this congregation here in heaven, and our church folks get together, and I'll teach you what Paul taught me about Romans, and that'll be my occupation in heaven. I think that those tastes that are right and holy, forgive me for saying it, some of you enjoy eating more than others. I think that you'll enjoy eating in heaven more than the rest of us. Some of you don't care much about eating. There's something wrong with you, but you don't care much about eating. But I think that in heaven, I think that some folks will want to eat more. And can you imagine a person that loves to eat? Can you imagine all the delicacies that God, if God made strawberries for us, and if God made cantaloupe for us, and if God made all the luscious fruit, the oranges and the tangerines and the apples and bananas, and then God made the herbs and God gave us all that to eat. Can you imagine the delicacies that God has planned for us in heaven? I saw Dr. John Rice one time take a strawberry and hold it in his hand, and he said, I thank the Lord when he made that. I hope my children enjoy these. I think God has some wonderful things for us. And I think our desires and our pursuits and our enjoyments will continue in heaven. Can you imagine if the artist Solomon is in heaven? Don't you think the head of Christ, he's painted the head of Christ? For he's seen him now. Don't you think that those that have gone to heaven, take music for example. Every once in a while I hear somebody say, well, we get to heaven, we can't sing the old song we sang down here on earth. You want to bet we can't sing the old song we sang down on earth? Look, you think we're going to lose our memory when we get to heaven? You think all of a sudden we're going to forget blessed assurance, Jesus is mine? You know what I like to do? We're going to do it tomorrow night. I like to have a sing-along. I like for some of us old-timers to get together and sing the songs that we used to sing. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, Clementine. And we love to sing that. And a little sing-along. Our home, home on the range where the deer and the antelope play. Tumbling, tumbleweeds. And I like to have those, down by the old mill stream, not the river but the stream, where I first, not the second but the first, met you, not her but you. And I enjoy that. And we have to get to, thank you very much. Thank you. Come back tomorrow night, you'll get even more than you got this morning. But don't you, listen, I think we'll get together in heaven, and I think we'll have a sing-along. And then we won't sing when we all get to heaven. We won't sing. When we all get to heaven, we'll sing. Now we're all up in heaven, and we'll sing the sing-alongs and remember the song we sang down here on earth, and we'll enjoy them. Oh, we have to change a few words here and there, of course. But I think, music lovers, I think that Mr. Gephardt in heaven would still like to play the piano. I think that Mrs. Colston would still like to play the organ. I think Mrs. Godfrey would still like to play the piano. I see no reason why we shouldn't have let Ray Borway lead the choir. He's done a good job down here. Let's let him lead the choir. I see no reason why you folks shouldn't sing in the choir. I see some reason why you folks shouldn't sing in the choir, but you folks know. But why? Because heaven is not a place where a bunch of spooks float around in the sky and wave at worlds that they pass by. Heaven is as real as Hammond is. And we will continue our pursuit. We'll pick our harps up on a special day and sing praises to Jesus. And then tomorrow we'll go back to our history and back to our music study and back to our art. And, for example, some of you folks, you love something about the military. Some of you folks can hardly hear a band play without wanting to march along like that. I don't see any reason why in heaven you couldn't join the army. You say, what? An army up in heaven? Yeah, you pacifists wouldn't enjoy it, but it's up there. I think Douglas MacArthur is in heaven, and I think he's in the army. Say, why? Didn't David say the chariots of the Lord are 20,000? Don't you recall when Elisha was at Dothan, that he looked up and he saw the Bible says the armies and the chariots of heaven. And it says in Revelation chapter 19, the armies which are in heaven will follow Jesus on white horses. You say armies in heaven? Sure. If fundamentalists go to heaven, you better know there'll be some fighting up there. But all of that, look in heaven now. Don't you stop to realize, ladies and gentlemen, down here on earth, we are protected by God's angelic host. And I think those that particularly like the military, I think when they got to heaven, I think that God put them maybe commander of some angelic host, and was a battle to fight on earth. Old MacArthur comes down and says, "I have returned." I think that's normal. I think Mr. Salee is now singing at the headquarters of Harmony. I think he's singing. I think he's leading the choir. It was the grand old Hayden. Hayden was carried into the music hall for the last time. He heard his oratorio on the creation. And the orchestra began to play, and they got louder and louder. They got down that mighty part in that oratorio on creation where it says, "Let there be light! Let there be light!" Orchestra got louder and louder. The people stood to cheer. And old Hayden waved his hand toward heaven and he said, "It came from there! It came from there!" All good music originates in heaven. This rock stuff came from hell. It's going to go back to hell. But all good music came from heaven. And in heaven, we'll have our own taste. Gus Sams died the other day, one of our men. Gus was a builder. Don't you think Gus right now is pursuing and investigating that building in the heavens, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens? Don't you think he's checking that place? "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you." Don't you think Gus Sams in heaven has more interest in the building part than does the music part? I think so. I expect Mr. Walker, that banker up in heaven, is marveling at the bookkeeping in heaven's bank. And Bernie Fields, our a jeweler who's in heaven, has been exploring the gems and jewels of glory all these years. I think Mr. Thurston, that ran a tailor shop over here where now we have a Sunday school class, Mr. Thurston for years ran that tailor shop. I have a sneaking suspicion he's occupied right now making our robes that we're going to sing in heaven's choir. Somebody's got to make those robes, and I don't think the Lord in heaven, "Let there be robes." I don't think so. If God let us share in the making of his plan and the fulfilling of his purpose on earth, don't you think God's going to let us share in the work of heaven? I think so. I think that preachers, most of the preachers, and I think the lawyers in heaven, when they get to heaven, I think they'll sit and they'll watch Jesus plead our case at the right hand of the Father. And I think they'll study the law of the universe, the law of nature. I think they'll study the laws, God's eternal laws. I think they'll be astounded to study those laws. Listen to me, folks. I think those of you that like to tell a funny story, John Finley, I think John Finley will tell stories in heaven. There'll be a different type than he told on earth, but I think he'll tell them in heaven. And I think he'll still have a good sense of humor in heaven. And I think we have a get-together. You know, we if we've had services here in the church where we get together and praise them, and we'll have Jesus as a special guest. And I think that whatever your tastes are that are right and good, I don't think folks up in heaven that are baseball fans, I don't think they've forgotten about the Cubs. They've tried to. I feel that far too often we have not realized exactly what heaven is. My mother's 92, and if the normal takes place, she's going to go to heaven before I do. Now, when we have mother's funeral service, if we do, there are a few, she'll probably have mine. But whoever goes first, if mother's on in heaven, I'm not going to think that, what a tragedy. A fellow one time tried to kill John Rice. "They're going to shoot you." He said, "You can't scare me about going to heaven." Really, there's nothing really wrong with it. Nothing little wrong with it. I say, "Well, House, I'm in love, and I want to get married, and I'm in love, and Brother Hiles, I want to get married before." Okay, we get to heaven, I'll marry you. Heard about a couple went to heaven, couldn't get married because they're waiting for a Baptist preacher to get there, and none showed up for so many years. Had to wait and wait and wait and wait. Oh, let me tell you, is your loved one buried out yonder in that little silent city, in memory lane? Or is your loved one laid to rest, and did this Christmas time seem a little extra hard for you? I'd like to have seen Dave sometime on Christmas. Paula took him away, just like Jezebel took Ahab away. Paula took David away, and Dave wasn't home for Christmas. But maybe your Christmas was made a little sadder or lonelier because there was an empty place at the table, because someone dear to you was taken away this year. I don't mind you crying because you miss them, but don't you weep because of them. So, what a tragedy, what a tragedy. No, when God's people die, it's not a tragedy. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And so I think we'll carry our personalities to heaven. General Arnold, a famous English general, they asked him one time, they said, what's the most exciting moment of your life? He said, it hasn't happened yet. And they said, well, what do you mean? When will it be? He said, 5 minutes after I die. 5 minutes after I die. Now, I don't want to die. I want to go to heaven, but I don't like the entrance. The doorway, it doesn't appeal to me a great deal. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to. I'd like to go to heaven in my sleep some way, but I don't want you to go that way either. But I'll tell you one thing: if we could just ever get it in our hearts that there's a place, a real place, with real streets and real houses and real people and real vocations and real family circles, where we're going to go, and our personalities be about the same. Really, I think Brother John's going to stumble a great deal in heaven. He was telling us this morning, lady told him this week, said, you came to see me at the hospital twice. Said, you stumble both times at the same spot over the same thing. And I think so. I think John Olson's going to carry a gun up in heaven and be a sheriff's department, a deputy sheriff up in heaven. I see no reason why God has to change our personalities. Don't you see, folks, when God saved us, He made us new creatures. And look, that which lives here, apart from the old flesh, is that which is going to live in heaven. And so maybe it was lonely for you. But I got a sneaking suspicion, nothing. I know that the loved one that you laid in the grave this year, I know he was watching during Christmas time. I know he had a vital interest during Christmas time. I'm not sure if they have Christmas trees in heaven. Not sure if they have wreaths and holly in heaven or mistletoe, or not sure they give gifts and so forth in heaven. But I guarantee you they celebrate Christmas in heaven. I bet you they sang Handel's Messiah. I bet you they sang O Little Town of Bethlehem. I bet you they sang Joy to the World, the Lord has come. I bet you they sang the first Noel. Listen, folks, and I'm through. I wish I could indelibly imprint on your mind that when Christians die and go to heaven, it's the best thing that ever happened to them. No sickness. Oh, we could go into that and all of that over and over again. But you'll still be you. You'll still have your personality. And those things that are right and holy and just on earth, those appetites, you'll still be able to fulfill them. And those interests, you'll still pursue them. And the personality, the type of personality you have here, you'll still have there. I wonder this morning, am I talking to someone way in the corner of the balcony or all across the great balcony or down here on the lower floor? Am I talking to someone that's not made provisions to go there? Am I? Am I talking to somebody this morning who's never taken time to receive Christ by faith into your heart and trust Him as your Savior and make ready for heaven? You've heard me say this 100 times. I'll never forget it. That bitter man, after I'd preached a sermon about like I preached this morning, came right down that aisle and put his hands on his hips like this and said to me, I don't believe in all that pie in the sky stuff. And I looked at his gruff old face and I said, sir, don't you wish he could? Don't you wish you could? He crumbled like he'd been hit by a bullet, and tears began to stream down his cheeks. And he said, "I'd give anything in the world if I could." There are two types of people in this world. those of us that believe, we're going to a city where Jesus lives, where we will have all of our appetites satisfied and continue our pursuits. There are those of us that believe in heaven, and there are those that don't that wish they could. And you could if you'd come to Christ and say, I want to trust you and prepare myself for the holy city.